All right, we are in this fourth lesson here on cultivating daily delight in prayer. We're doing those circles around the clock, if you would, 5-minute spots, just to give you an idea. What I have been doing, I continue with my regular prayer, but on these ones here in particular, each week I just focus on one of them, and it might be longer than the 5 minutes. I just focus right now on one of them, so this week I've been focusing on confession. I didn't spend much time there. I didn't have a whole lot, you know. I'll have to confess that one. But luckily that week is over and I'm in the next one here. So, it's just some ideas to help you along the way here. Again, Matthew 26:40 says, "What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour?" Question. This is not on your outline or book. Do you believe that every born-again believer can manage their time enough to spend 1 hour a day in prayer? And now it might be condensed into one area, it might be broken up, it might be spread out, but do you think that most believers should be able to spend an hour in the day? I think so. The step four one here that we get into, after we have had praise and we're waiting and now we're confessing, now we get into step four, that's scripture praying. Scripture praying. You're using the Word of God to pray back to God who gave you the Word. Scripture praying. This is not in your notes. I always jot extra stuff down on mine. If I was to show you all my stuff that you don't have, I got all kinds of stuff on mine. So I do a lot more stuff for myself. But listen to what this says here. Scripture praying back to God is a powerful form of intercession, often seen when believers remind God of His promises, His covenant, and His character. Can you imagine you and I reminding God of things? Well, let me give you an idea what that looks like by a couple examples. In the book of Exodus, chapter 32, verse 13 and 14, you don't have to turn there, but you can write it down and look it up for yourselves. But in Exodus 32, verse 13 and 14, the great prophet Moses, y'all know him? Moses is reminding God of His covenant promise that He made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's reminding God, hey, remember, you made this. So there's nothing wrong with reminding God of His promises or taking Him to that area. If you go into 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 25 to 29, David is reminding God of some of His promises that He has made. In the area here of all the way over to the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. I love the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah is quoting God's promises that He made to Moses regarding their future as a nation. So Moses is reminding God of His character and the promises He made. And then later, Nehemiah is reminding God what you said to Moses that He reminded you of to us as a people here. And some of those things that he was reminding God was, he was regarding when Moses was talking about the consequences for disobedience and the blessings and the promise of restoration in return. Daniel chapter 9, verse 2 and 3, Daniel is reminding God of some things there. In chapter 2 of the book of Jonah, Jonah is praying. He's way down at the bottom, and he's reminding God of some things. There's also, you could go on with other people, and it's not just reminding, it's just quoting Scripture back to God. Do you realize that Jesus quoted Scripture back to the Father when He was hanging on the cross? He said, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." He was quoting Psalm 22. So there's nothing wrong with quoting Scripture back to God. God's Word is wonderful, amen? And it's everlasting. So we're talking about Scripture praying. Now, the basic definition here for your next blank is the act of faith. The act of faith. Now, the word that follows that word faith is already there for you, appropriation. So the basic definition of Scripture praying is the act of faith appropriation, taking Scripture and making application with it. Now, remember what faith is. Hebrews 11, 1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So it's something that we don't see, but we're hoping for, and we can take Scripture where God promises it and say, Lord, I'm still waiting by faith for you to fulfill this promise or meet this need. The Scripture here that we'll be looking at, I'll wait until we get to it a little bit closer. So the action focus is supernatural empowerment. Supernatural, in your word there, is empowerment. The Bible tells us in Hebrews that the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It's pretty close somewhere in there. And all I'm trying to get across is that God's word is powerful, and it can pierce right through anything and everything to get to the heart of a man. That's why you can give somebody a gospel tract that has the word of God on it. If they read it, that word goes in there, and it doesn't come out. It stays there. He can bring it up at any point in time. I was out to dinner last night with a friend of mine who wanted to go out, and we're eating, and the waiter comes up. He's a really nice guy. And we're talking with him and asking what his name was. He goes, my name's Malachi. Oh, that's a good name. He kind of looks at me and I said, that's an Old Testament prophet. You wrote the last book of the Bible. He kind of chuckled. And then the other guy next to me goes, hey, well, he goes, we're Christians. He goes, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know if you die today, Malachi, that you'd go to heaven? And Malachi stopped, looked at me, looked at him, and he goes, you know, I've thought about that before. He goes, I can honestly say, I have no idea. Very honest. And so I had given this brother that was with me some of the tracks that I use, and he happened to have one. He always uses my tracks, but that's all right. He pulled it out, and he says, would you take time to read this, and it will explain clearly how you can know. And then he wrote down his name and his phone number, and he gave it to him. He says, if you got any questions, call me. And he goes, thanks. And he took them, and he goes, by the way, he goes, do you have anything we can be praying for? And he goes, no, I don't think so. And then he goes, you know, it seems like everybody should have something they need prayer for. He said, yeah. Now, this kid was probably in his early 20s at the best. And he goes, yeah. He goes, could you pray for my mom? She's in jail right now. And he goes, pray that she's kept safe in jail, and that when she gets released, she'll get her act together and we can work together on getting on with life. So I thought, wow. So the Lord gave us a good time. But if Malachi will take that word with Scripture in it and begin to read it, God's word is quick and it's powerful. It will pierce in there and it will touch his heart, and maybe we'll hear from him that he came to know Christ as his Savior. So we're talking about supernatural empowerment. And if it's that powerful, folks, to save a man's soul, don't you think it would be wise to use it in our Scripture prayer? Hey, turn around. Mind your own business. I can't believe he does that. Look at my wife shaking her head like, what's he doing now? Rapture, I go up, not sideways. No, I was going to grab one of these earlier and I forgot. And I thought, well, I'll just go get one and watch how you guys respond to me walking away. We handed these out a long time ago. They've been sitting back there for a long time. And some of you guys who have family and friends that are lost, this is a thing for praying for them. And if you haven't looked at one in a long time, you ought to grab one on the way out. And it has blanks where you'd put that person's name in that and make this their prayer to pray for them. But I want you to focus on that there is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 20, almost 25 verses of scripture that you're praying for this person to get saved. You're reminding God, Lord, you're not willing that any would perish. That means so-and-so that I'm praying for, you don't want them to perish. You want them to repent. I'm just reminding you what you said. We've done that before when we were praying for needs as a family. In Bible college, praying, God, you said if we do this, this is what you would do. We're doing this. And we'd remind God. God didn't need to be reminded, but he did want us to quote and remind, bring his scripture, his word back to him for our benefit, probably. So to see the power of it. So we have that spiritual, supernatural empowerment. The key word here on scripture praying is fortification. Fortification. So we have faith appropriation, supernatural empowerment, and the key word is fortification. When you begin to pray scripture, and we'll look at some of this in a minute here, when you begin to look at praying scripture, you are actually building a stronghold against the enemy. The Bible says that where is that one at? Is that in Romans where they are building strong, tearing down every stronghold? At Romans, 2 Corinthians, tearing down strongholds and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And so Satan has strongholds. He has areas that he's taken over in people's lives. And that you can use the word of God to bring down those strongholds and you take them over. It's like a war, which we're in spiritual warfare, and if the enemy has this hill right here, they got the advantage on us. But if we can conquer that hill, can anybody think of a hill in history that was conquered to give a victory in war? Huh? San Juan Hill. Anybody else remember one? In Gettysburg, yeah. Anyway, listen up. I'll wait. Go ahead. During any type of battle, there is the advantage up on the hill, and the enemy has these advantages, these strongholds that he can use to keep you down. And the goal is, if we use scripture, there's nothing more powerful than the word of God. And you can use the word of God in prayer to defeat and bring down those walls. Good night. Remember when they walked around the city 7 times and on the 7th day, they said not a word. They just sounded their trumpets and shouted and the walls came down. That was supernatural. You and I have the same ability by quoting scripture in prayer. Lord, give victory. We're praying for so-and-so who has this stronghold in their life. We pray this, and we're going to tear this stronghold down in 2 Corinthians, wherever it's at, and use scripture to do exactly that. When you're praying for a lost person, it says that Satan is the god of this world in 2 Corinthians 4:4. It says Satan, the god of this world, has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Why? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who's the image of God, should shine unto them. So they got blinders that Satan's put on the lost family members. So we can pray, Father, we would ask in Jesus' name, and according to your word, they're blinded. Remove those blinders. We're praying your word to remove that area in their life. So those are some areas. Now notice here, if you would, you have a voice from the past. This is F.B. Meyer. F.B. Meyer was a well-known Bible teacher. Listen to what he says. Though the Bible be crowded with golden promises from cover to cover, yet will they be inoperative until we turn them into prayer. Praying God's promises. Praying God's word. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself. They estimate that there's somewhere around 7,000 plus promises in the Bible. And I ended up grabbing out my little the Bible promise book. I had this on the shelf. Some of you may have one. If you don't, you can get these at Mardell's. You probably pick them up for a few bucks. They're definitely worth having. Let me give you an example of if I wanted to pray scripture tonight, and I stuck one in here. Anybody here need any guidance in your life? You need guidance? Well, this gives you, not a lot, but it gives you a few verses of scripture on guidance. And one of them is in Isaiah 30, verse 21. It says, "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee." Do you believe that God speaks to us still today? "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it." That's pretty clear guidance right there. His word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Psalm 48:14, "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide, even unto death." I mean, that's going all the way, isn't it? Proverbs 16:9, "A man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." Lord, I don't know which way I'm needing to go. I have an idea. I've come up with plans. But Lord, is this what you want me to do? Lead me and guide me. "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." God delights in helping us make it through life. These are good verses that you could actually turn into prayer, could you not? "For his God doth instruct him to discretion and doth teach him," teaches us the way. Here's one we all know, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." I like this one. This is the last one. Isaiah 42:16. "And I will bring," listen, and this is you and me, "and I will bring the blind by a way that they know not." I mean, if you're not sure what you're supposed to be doing, it's almost like being blind. I don't know which way I'm supposed to go. "I will," God says. "I will bring the blind by a way that they know not. I will lead them in the paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them." What an incredible verse of Scripture.
Look, Isaiah 55:1-3.
Yeah. Correct. Amen. So grab yourself if you're not saying, "Well, I don't know where all the promises are at." Either look them up or Google. You can actually Google stuff up, you know. Give me some promises of God. But I tell you what, this is a pretty good little booklet just to have with you and just say, "Lord, I'm needing guidance." And it's got things here if you have issues with fighting with anger, honesty, hope, joy, loneliness, you name it, it's all here. Which one do you want? You want the one on anger, Don? Is that what you're saying? Huh? Traffic, yes. All right, so let's look at here the Scripture praying a biblical basis. And we have several passages of Scripture here. The first one is Ephesians 6:17. And he says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Now that's Ephesians 6:17. So what's that have to do with prayer? The next verse that follows. What's verse 18 say? That we are to be praying for all saints in the Spirit. So the Spirit of God in prayer with the Word of God. How many of y'all have a Bible? Say amen. He says, take your Bible to the prayer closet and use it when you're praying. Use God's Word. Praying with all prayer. We're talking about we're in a battlefield. The Word of God is a weapon. Use it. Did you realize that when we look at the armor of God, that there is only one piece of armor that is mentioned that you can actually see and feel? Can't see and feel the helmet, right? Or the breastplate, or the sandals, or the shield, but you can the sword, the Bible, the Word of God. That's the only one that you can actually see and have in spiritual battle. And spiritual battle always, always, always involves spirit praying as well. The Word of God and prayer are those things. He says, for the Word of God, and we've talked about this, the Bible is quick, it's alive, it's living, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even unto the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. In your prayer time, be praying in the Spirit with the sword of the Spirit. That was, by the way, Hebrews 4:12. The power of the Word of God. I was sharing with Althea, I was listening to somebody this week, and he was given a testimony. Actually, it was Brother Dick Eastman who designed, wrote these. I was listening to him, and he's with Every Home for Christ, and they are all over the world. And he was sharing of a time when they were trying to get into a country that they were not able to get into. It was very, very hard, and it was a very Muslim area. And there was a man in India where they were trying to get into who was an imam. Anybody know what that is? What is that, Don? A Muslim teacher, okay? So he's a leader in the area, and his name was Sober Ali Khan. Real man, real person. And somehow, someone had given him one verse of the Bible. That's all. One verse. I need somebody to turn to Matthew chapter 11. Maybe you can quote it. But look at Matthew 11. Somebody's got a good, strong voice and read verse 29. And this is the verse that Sober Ali Khan read. Glenn. Jesus is talking, and he's inviting people, take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and you shall find rest unto your souls. That's the only verse this imam read. And he did some asking around, and he come in contact with somebody who worked with Every Home for Christ that was out wanting to give out literature. Long story short, he came to know Christ as his Savior. He repented from the Muslim faith, Islam, and became a born-again believer. He, from that point in his life, asked them, could you please tell me more about Jesus? So they started giving him discipleship stuff. He started reading it and eating it up. He became a worker, going out sharing with others through Every Home for Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was going so faithful in his work that he became the director of Every Home for Christ in India. He stayed there and served for several years as the director over that area until God redirected him into another ministry, and he left Every Home for Christ and went with a company that you don't hear very much of anymore, a group called Trans World Radio. Anybody remember Trans World Radio? They put out the gospel. They were probably the biggest gospel promoters of getting the gospel out through the airwaves, which I love. We used to support Trans World Radio when we were in New Hampshire. I love it because who is the prince and power of the air? Satan is. And yet, he cannot stop the Word of God going through his territory. That's how powerful it is. So he goes on and becomes an evangelist speaker for Trans World Radio. He still may be there today. I don't know for sure. They said that on average that this converted man is averaging 3,000 converts or more every single month. And they're mailing Bible studies to all of them and keeping up with them in their area. all because, listen, one verse of Scripture. You don't know when you leave that track who's going to get it, what God's going to do with it. There was a missionary to Ireland who I used to get a lot of his gospel tracts from him. I can't even remember his name anymore. It was he was in Ireland. It was Ireland is 99% Catholic. No. Bill Jackson. Bill Jackson was a missionary to Ireland. So he understood how to work with these people. So he started designing his own gospel tracts. And his philosophy is, if I can't get the Word of God into their hand, God can't get that Word into their heart. That's why he believes in literature. Getting you say, oh, I just can't talk to people. Then hand out literature and let God's Word do the talking. The Holy Spirit and the Word don't need us, really. Okay? And so that's what happened with this guy. And it came only from a promise. Learn of me and I will give you rest to your soul. That was a promise. And it came from a promise that triggered all of this. And by the way, Matthew 11:29 is a promise of God's nature and his character. So there's power in the Word of God. Next is Psalm 56. Look at verse 4 and verse 10. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. When was the last time you just took time to praise God for his word? Lord, I'm going to praise you for your word because that's what you said for me to do in your word. So I'm using your word to praise you for your word. Isn't that wild? I'm using your word to praise you for your word. Numbers 23, verse 19 and 20, he reminds us of the character of God. God is not a man that he should lie. Thank you, Lord. Neither is the son of man that he should repent. He didn't have to change his mind. Hath he said, shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, shall he not make good? Behold, I have received commandments to bless, and he hath blessed. I cannot reverse it. Incredible verses of Scripture. All about the Word, and that Word that's available to us to bring into our prayers. Summary definition here of Scripture praying. By the way, God's Word is true. Just thought I'd remind you of that. Summary definition of Scripture praying. A time to appropriate faith. A time to appropriate faith. The word appropriate talks about it's a suitable fitting for a particular purpose, person, or an occasion. It means to make it applicable, useful, prosperous, relevant. Listen to Charles Spurgeon. By the way, before we get to Charles Spurgeon, somebody has said, faith is not only a fact, it is an act. Faith without works is dead. It's not only a fact, it's an act. Spurgeon says this, every promise of Scripture is a writing of God which may be pleaded before him with this reasonable request. I love this. You got to underline this next five words. Do as thou hast said. The Creator will not cheat the creature who depends upon this truth, and far more than the Heavenly Father will not break his word to his own child. Plead before him with this reasonable request, do as thou hast said. That's all I'm asking you to do. Scripture praying. Here is the prayer application, and then we'll have the life application. The prayer application is employ God's word. You're in the army. You're in the Lord's army. Enlist the word of God in your prayer. Allow it to be engaged in your prayer time. Employ God's word. Voice from the past is Amy Carmichael. She says, the only thing that matters in our warfare is to throw all the energies of our being into the faithful use of this precious blade, the sword of God's word. Some of these that we are looking at, these quotes, you can tell have an incredible prayer time, and God gives them incredible insights. Scripture, praying, a life application. This is the doing daily now. Claim a specific promise. Claim a specific promise. If you get one of these books on the promises of God, go through as you're having your Bible time and prayer and just say, Lord, I want to pull out one promise because I'm kind of fearful about what's coming up, what might happen here with this situation. And immediately you give me Luke 12:32. You say, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Lord, I just pray you'd help me not to be fearful. God considers us as his little flock. Well, folks, that is a term of intimacy and endearment. That's how he sees us. It's amazing. I'm so glad that God sees us different than we see ourselves. We're doing a devotion together, and Jacob's part of it. And yet, Jacob is going to be a part of the promise, correct, of the covenant for Israel. Through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the promise would be passed down. And yet God knew that Jacob was a liar, a schemer, and everything else. But God saw him, how he would have him be when he was done with him. God always sees the finished product. And he's willing to work with us because we're just pieces of clay on the master's wheel that spins around. And he uses circumstances and people to mold us and make us. Maybe you might pick another one on the love of God here, God's love, or maybe you're going to pick one here on meekness. Whatever it is, take what they're trying to do is get you to begin to apply. And if you have some promises on a list or a book of promises, you can say, Lord, I want to just take one promise a day, and I want to close out with claiming this promise for the day, just for this day. Just try to be a little creative is all we're talking about here. Claim a specific promise, one for that day, and then keep it before you throughout the day. Here's another voice from the past. If there is progress in understanding prayer in depth, it's by the study of the Bible. If there is progress in understanding prayer in depth, it is by the study of the Bible. Donald Demaray is a Bible seminary teacher, and he's written a lot of books. Some people are just gifted with that. He's written over 30 books on prayer, and one that is highly recommended. I have not read it. It says, How Are You Praying? A Manual on Practice of Prayer. And it's probably one of his bestsellers from what I've seen. Understand something that's important here that I learned this last week. Prayers are deathless. You pray a prayer to the Lord, it doesn't die. They're deathless. They go on. They continue on. Someone was asking George Mueller, have you ever had a prayer not answered? He goes, first off, you have to know that you're praying God's will. This is the confidence that we have. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. He goes, so I have to make sure that my prayers are according to his will. That means I need to know what the word of God says so that I know that, hey, that lines up with God's word. And I can claim that promise. He goes, I think they've all been answered. Except for one. He goes, I've been praying one for 30 plus years. And it was a close friend of his son, for salvation. George Mueller died, never seeing that prayer answered. At his funeral, the young man was there. That young man became convicted of his sin and repented at George Mueller's funeral and was saved. And I always think to myself, I wonder on that day, because I don't know how much we know what's going down on earth when we're up with the Lord. Maybe he saw it. I don't know if the Lord will let us watch our own funeral. But Hebrews 12 says there's a great cloud of witnesses that are watching, looking from above. But if he couldn't see it, I wonder if that day, if the Lord didn't just say, hey, George, your prayer was answered. Your last prayer. It didn't die with you. Folks, don't quit praying. Some of us get discouraged in prayer. I do too. And we cease praying for that individual. Who won that war? Who won that war? Some of us have had these things here, and we've used them, and we are pumped up using them, and then we let the distractions of life set it aside. It gets lost, gets put away, and it never gets used again. That's full of scripture, man. I was talking with Brother Paul this evening, and not long ago we were at the other property over there. I preached a series back when your son John had just moved here and was attending church over there, and I preached a series, some of you may remember, on five or six lessons on hell. And I told Paul, I said, I'm almost convinced that that series of messages should be preached annually. Well, we heard that last year. We heard that 2 years ago. I'm almost convinced we need to keep that in front of us. And I think it will change how we see those that we've been praying for salvation. May God help us all in that area for sure. Real quickly here. Prayerful study of the Bible is indispensable for powerful prayer. Andrew Murray. Prayerful study of the Bible is indispensable for powerful prayer. So you have your will there. We have praise. Because of thy loving kindness is better to me than life. Thy lips shall praise thee. We had waiting. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46:10. We had confession, Psalm 139, search me, O God, know my heart, try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. And then tonight we have scripture praying. And he has there Jeremiah 23, is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. God's word is powerful. It will smash, it will crush, it will pulverize and get to the hard hearts of those that we've been praying for. Tonight, as we get ready to close, we've got about 10 minutes left. Where to next? Page 26. And it gives you four suggestions to keep going. Look what it says here. Number one, when bringing scripture into your prayer, your devotional hour, ask God to bless his word to your spiritual body just as he blesses natural food to your physical body. Secondly, examine a passage from either the Gospels, the Epistles, the Psalms, or Proverbs, and look carefully for specific ways to apply each verse to prayer. Thirdly, as you study a verse or verses, ask yourself what petition this passage prompts you to make, or what promise this passage contains that stands directly behind a specific petition, and then develop actual prayers based on the thoughts and phrases included in a verse or verses of scripture, and offer those prayers confidently to God. So tonight, down at the bottom on prayer points, is this: take a moment to pray for a personal need or the need of a friend or situation using a favorite scripture or Bible passage as a basis for that prayer. Weave phrases of this verse or passage into your prayer. If you can think of a passage, use a verse from Psalm 23. Maybe there's someone that just says, Lord, I need you tonight to help me. Lord, I could use some rest physically, emotionally, spiritually. Lord, and you said in Psalm 23 that you will lead me beside the still waters. You'll make me to lie down in green pastures. Lord, I need you to do what you said you would do with my shepherd. I need you to restore my soul. Find a passage, think of a situation. You're by yourself tonight, wherever you're at, and take some time to think of something. See what God gives you. Ask him, Lord, give me a thought. Give me a verse that I can bring into prayer for a specific need tonight. Take time, and then we'll close with prayer when everybody is wrapping it up.